Wednesday. Today is April the 24th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take a look today at some agricultural headlines with the EPA dealing with their issues in the Endangered Species Act and the herbicide strategy that they released last summer. Some changes coming down the pike that may be positive for agriculture. We're going to look at what some of those are and how it could impact your operation. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, farmers and pesticide applicators are grappling with how to comply with the EPA's impending herbicide strategy. They learned this week that new requirements may not be as stringent now or as widespread as the agency initially proposed in the draft strategy that came out last summer. Now, back last Tuesday, the EPA announced it had published an update regarding progress on the strategy and the agency's plan to meet its obligation under the Endangered Species Act. The update offered the first look at how public comments and stakeholder feedback have been used to revise the strategy, and a final version of which will be due by August the 30th. In the update announcement, EPA noted it's making changes to the strategy, making it easier to understand, increasing flexibility for growers, and the implementation of mitigation measures and reducing the amount of mitigation that might be needed. Now, the draft that we released in July of last year required agriculture herbicide users, namely farmers, to implement mitigation measures such as vegetative filter strips, grass waterways, and field borders to protect endangered species and the critical habitat from herbicide exposure through spray drift and/or runoff or soil erosion. Herbicide users would need to achieve a minimum number of, quote, efficacy points, with EPA assigning 1 to 3 points to each option in its menu of mitigation measures, and the number of points required would vary based on the herbicide and the location in the field. Now, in a 12-page update, the EPA stated it expects changes to the strategy, quote, would lead to improved flexibility and feasibility for growers to implement the mitigation measures while still providing protection for federally listed species. The agency provided a summary of the major themes from the public comment and potential changes to the draft strategy that's under consideration. One of those would be increasing runoff mitigation options. Now, the EPA expects to make 7 changes to how it handles runoff mitigation. These would include increasing the percent of slope of the, quote, flat fields from less than 2% to less than 3%, and adding language to clarify how mitigation points would be earned for the reduced annual application rates, adding 9 mitigation measures to expand options for growers, revisiting the efficacy rankings of mitigation measures, and clarifying that field with tile drainage without control outlets are still eligible for that mitigation menu. Another is the refined pesticide use limitation areas, or PULAs, and the EPA acknowledged that for many listed species, the map used in the draft strategy for determining where mitigation measures would apply were often too broad, actually covering areas not needed to conserve the species. Using input from the USDA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency is refining the PULAs to ensure they are limited to areas needed to protect species while minimizing the impacts to pesticide users. And through this work, the EPA expects land areas subject to pesticide restrictions under the federal strategy could shrink for many species. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, continuing where we left off, talking about the EPA's updated draft to their herbicide strategies, another one of those aspects that they were looking at dealt with spray drift mitigation. Now, the EPA expects to update its aerial spray drift modeling, revising the mitigation measures to expand flexibility and simplify how buffer distances are determined in fields. The herbicide strategy decision framework that they have in place is something they're debating as well. The EPA is considering a simple approach approach to achieve mitigation level goals. Rather than requiring a certain number of runoff mitigation points, the agency is weighing a four-tiered approach that would define the need for mitigation as high, medium, or low, or even none. News of the EPA's update was met with some optimism by members of the ag community, including the Ag Retailers Association. The Retailers Association is pleased to see the EPA responded to stakeholder comments and proposed some updates to its herbicide strategy to make it easier to use for applicators and growers. President and CEO Dean Kopach said in a statement, "We look forward to continuing our work with them to achieve a workable solution that achieves the goals of the Endangered Species Act compliance." And in a phone interview, Richard Gupton, the Ag Retail Association Senior Vice President of Public Policy, said after a quick review of the update, it appears the agency is listening to the industry. They're listening and recognizing that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, he said, and they seem to be making strides towards recognizing that there are differing circumstances in the western part of the country versus the southeast or even the Midwest. Gupton added that identifying more defined PULAs was an important change, as was the clarification concerning fields with tile drainage without controlled outlets and the updates to aerial spray drift modeling. It has to be workable and make sense for applicators who are going to be on the front lines applying these products, he said. Really, the rubber's going to meet the road when they have their first label registration under the new framework. Now, in a statement sent by the American Soybean Association, they also acknowledged positive changes to the updated strategy. The EPA has clearly heard the points we raised about the complexity of the proposal, the need for additional compliance measures, and other issues, and is taking steps to address those. That, according to Alan Meadows, a soybean farmer from Tennessee, who currently is a director with the American Soybean Association, he said, "While we have some remaining concerns with our herbicide strategy, particularly the underlying ways in which the EPA assesses risks to species, soybean farmers do welcome the update, and we look forward to continuing to work with the EPA to address the remaining challenges and ensure these strategies can help the EPA meet its Endangered Species Act requirements while also being workable for agriculture." Now, in its announcement, the EPA did clarify that the herbicide strategy itself does not impose any requirements or restrictions on pesticide use. Rather, the agency will use it to inform mitigation for new active ingredient registrations and registration reviews of conventional herbicides. For any herbicide, mitigation from the strategy will not become effective until the EPA adopts labeling following public comment for that herbicide as part of the new active ingredient registration or registration renewal decision, the agency stated. We'll be sure to follow the story as it develops, but for now, that's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.